It's Columbia Morning at News Talk 1400 KFRU. There's an event coming up on Tuesday next week, and it is called Civil Discourse in an Uncivil Age. All of us are probably needing to hear about that and invited to hear about that. Dr. Berkeley Hudson is in the studio again from the School of Journalism. Had an opportunity to talk with you a couple of times. Glad to talk to you again. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having us.
With you also is Dr. Mary Stegmeier, who is one of the organizers for this event. And nice to welcome you into the studio also. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Now, you work with the J School also as a journalist and professor there?
Or? I am in the Truman School of Public Affairs, a faculty member.
I see. So this is Truman School of Public Affairs. How does it join up with the Kinder Institute on Constitutional Democracy and the Reynolds Journalism Institute to put this together?
Yes, we had this idea for the panel at the start of the semester. In the Truman School, we educate our students to go on to be public officials and to work in public life. So as we were putting together the panel, we contacted the Kinder Institute to see if their faculty wanted to be involved, and that's when their director, Justin Dyer, suggested, well, we could team up and do this lecture with the panel following it.
Has there been an emphasis for a while on civility in talking to students who may go out and live a public life and run for office?
Yes, I think the nature of public discourse, as we look at the media today, has changed quite a bit over the past 10 years. And for young people who are starting college, who are starting graduate school, they mimic what they see in public life. And in order to have meaningful discussions in the classroom, we have to talk to them and train them to be respectful of each other's opinions, to listen to each other, to learn how to engage and debate. And that's an important part, I think, of the educational process, but also what we do in the public affairs school.
Over the years that I have done what I've done, I started to put folders in my file cabinet of different topics. Sometimes it might be city government. Sometimes it might be what the state's doing. Sometimes it might be healthcare. I have had for years, predating the current presidential administration, so for those who would say it only came up then, for years a folder that was titled Civics and Civility. Mm-hmm. And it got full. I mean, it's just full because I'd save articles talking about this subject. I think it's one that's crucial for us. And I'll ask you, Dr. Hudson, what does civil discourse mean? What are we aiming for here? How would it show itself?
Well, I think the first step to civil discourse is what I would call deep listening. Which I don't know that we have as much as we need right now.
I'm going to pull you up to that microphone just a bit because what you say needs to be heard.
So I think that's one attribute of civil discourse is deep listening to one another and being willing to engage in what John Stuart Mill talked about as the marketplace of ideas.
It's hard to listen deeply when we think that the goal that we have is to always win an argument, to win the battle. We got to win. My side has to win. My position has to be proven, or at least I have to yell it loudly enough that everybody will know where I have no doubt where I stand.
Well, I think you only win if you listen deeply to all the different points of view and engage with them in a respectful way. That may be naive to say that, but I think in many ways, that's what our democracy is founded on, you know, once you get past the revolution.
A question for both of you. Is it too late by the time somebody reaches college to do this? I have a daughter, freshman in high school. She comes home and tells me some of the things that are happening in some of the classes, just in discussions outside of the classroom and maybe in discussions in the classroom where I hear her frustration in trying to say, why does somebody else have this opinion? It seems so right to me that this is the position. So early on, I don't know, maybe in preschool, out on the preschool playground, there needs to be, can you teach a preschooler how to listen deeply? Because you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying, that early on, nowadays, I think some of these things become deeply rooted where we have incivility towards each other.
Well, I think grace and courtesy can be taught at any age if people are willing to be graceful and courteous with one another and also and be willing to engage from an intellectual side of what are the arguments, you know, what's the debate. I mean, I tell my students, you know, you need to read a wide range of thinkers all across the spectrum to move towards understanding one another.
How do you feel about that, Dr. Stegmaier?
Yeah, it requires people to adopt a certain kind of openness. I think right now it's so easy to read news and information that only appeals to your perspective. And I think part of the educational experience, I agree that it certainly should be taught at an earlier age, but is to open one's mind and appreciate and hear other perspectives.
Let me ask you this. You probably both know, since you're journalists, Leonard Pitts Jr. I think he writes for the Miami Herald. I'm not quite sure, but he writes editorials. One was picked up by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch a few days ago. I pulled it out because, not because I knew I was going to talk to you, it was before I even knew that there was going to be this panel discussion and this lecture next week. And it's talking about, he starts out, "So what should we say to Robert Ussery? He's an antagonist in a story of breathtaking emotional cruelty that unfolded last week. It seems that Pastor Frank Pomeroy was sitting in his car near his church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, just east of San Antonio, when," he says, "a man and woman approached the building." He says the woman, later identified as a 56-year-old, began defacing a poster left for well-wishers to sign. Now, Pomeroy is the pastor of that. His daughter was killed in the shootings at that church. And the man who showed up, Robert Ussery, and the woman, they were saying that that never happened, that that was fake. The question that Leonard Pitts is asking is, how do you talk to people? The issue is not ideology. It is America's vanishing ability and willingness to reason. Where does reason come in with civility? I thought this was, you know, because I'm saying I understand civility and listening and everything. But when do you draw the line and say, you know what? You are wrong. You brought up something that is totally absurd. And I mean, now I'm being not civil towards somebody.
Well, I think we still have to try. Mm. You know, we still have to try. We have to understand. We have to ask this person, tell me more. Why do you think this isn't true?
Here's the question that Leonard Pitts asked at the end. How do you reason with the person who thinks nobody died at Parkland at the high school a month ago, or that Barack Obama was born in Kenya, or that the U.S. government blew up the World Trade Center? And really, what should you say to Robert Ussery, the guy who was saying that your daughter wasn't killed in this church shooting? And the sad part about it is that Leonard Pitts Jr. says, sorry, but there are no words. He's not listening anyway. I think that, do you ever draw the line and say that person can't be listened to? I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating just a bit here. I think it's hard. I think it's hard because in this day and age, when we have, I think you have to say false news and false things out there. I don't know if, and again, I'm expressing what frustration I have. I don't think civility is due those people sometimes, sadly. And that's my confession, that I wish that you would absolve me of the guilt for that. Well, or tell me how I can not feel that way.
I would say go in peace and be uncivil no more.
Yeah.
It's certainly a challenge in, and I'm thinking about this in terms of leading classroom discussions. If you have students who hold beliefs that they believe are factual, but to common knowledge and evidence, they are incorrect. And so trying to engage them to get them to talk about why they believe this, where it comes from, sometimes helps them recognize, you know, where did they hear this from? Was it, you know, propaganda? Did they grow up in an environment that this was just, you know, these kinds of things were assumed? And you aren't always going to change people's minds, right? If they are committed to believing things that aren't accurate. But it is part of the educational process, right? To try to have these discussions.
Yeah. It's good that you all are in the classroom rather than I'm in the classroom, I think.
And as a journalist, I think it's our job to draw out those stories from those people that may have views we think are extreme. Like, I did a profile of the head of the Ku Klux Klan once, and I spent a long time with him asking him why. Tell me more. Tell me your stories. What are the stories that ground your life, that cause you to believe what you believe? And I think when we're willing to listen to those stories, then we start to see a connection, that we can see a connection. I'm not saying you're going to persuade somebody who didn't believe anyone was killed at Parkland or who believes that Barack Obama was, you know, is a Kenyan and a Muslim, you know, but I do think it's important to understand why. What are the stories that are fueling their belief system? Where did they come from?
Interesting, because the New York Times just did that a few months ago, and they got horrific backlash. The accusations were that they were too sympathetic to a man who had alt-right positions.
Right, and I understand that. It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's a difficulty to solve.
We need to talk about the civil discourse in an uncivil age, and I think we've proven how hard that is sometimes right now. But what's going to happen? And Dr. Stegmaier, tell me about the event on Tuesday at 5:30.
Yeah, so the event is titled Civil Discourse in an Uncivil Age. It will start with a presentation by Alexander Heffner, who is the host of PBS's The Open Mind. And following that, starting at about 6:15, there will be a panel discussion among five MU faculty members on engaging in discussion and dialogue around difficult issues of race, of Confederate monuments, the things that inspired this panel in the first place, and the role that public officials and journalists and universities have to play in trying to encourage this kind of civil dialogue.
It's tough, isn't it? I mean, to encourage that. I mean, and I looked at the role of public officials, journalists, and universities, and wonder about those roles and how those roles continue to evolve and continue to be defined. It's a challenge. The universities, what would you, if you were answering that question right now, what's the role of the university?
The role of the university is to be a place where a full range of ideas are discussed, debated, and understood in deep ways. So, and I've been calling for what I call the Mizzou miracle to occur, where we can do that, where we can talk about our differences and understand our commonalities.
I'm glad that we have these kinds of opportunities and discussions. This is open to anybody.
Yes, it's open to the public. It's free.
Where is Smith Forum at the Reynolds Journalism Institute 200? When you go in off of 9th Street, where do you find this?
You go upstairs. It's on the second floor. And so you go in right there at the entrance of the Reynolds Journalism Institute on 9th Street, and then you go up the stairs or the elevator to the second floor.
What are you telling your students that are going to be public officials?
About this particular
About what their role might be.
Yes. So in advertising this to my students, I have told them they're going to be working in public life, and it's really critical for them to engage in these discussions and not shy away from them. I think it's a natural human tendency to try sometimes to not engage in these discussions because they're difficult, but these are the issues that they will face as public officials, whether they're in Missouri or at the national level.
I think, Dr. Hudson, you're exactly right. You got to talk to people, and then you got to listen to people. I mean, I hear that. It's hard to do, but I hear it. I think you're exactly right. That's got to be done.
Yes.
Anything else? I appreciate you coming in and organizing this event, and you know, that you could do that every day, yeah. Every week, right?
We definitely hope that the community comes out for this event as well.
Civil Discourse in an Uncivil Age. It's a presentation by Alexander Heffner from PBS's The Open Mind, and then a panel discussion to follow with panelists from the university talking about how to listen deeply and how to have civil discourse and how to hear others who don't always or anytime agree with you and yet be civil towards them. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Dr. Berkeley Hudson and also Dr. Mary Stegmaier have been my guest. It's KFRU.